morning. Please, have a seat. The energy and the hubbub is kind of cool this morning. You see, feel things coming back. You know, it's been a great summer, but starting to see some of our young people back and people who have been traveling away. So really glad we're starting to come together again as we begin sort of a new, we're not saying a new year, but it all feels that way as schools begin again. Sunday school starts up. The regular life of church begins to enter into its normal cycle again after a time of rest, relaxation, and Sabbath, as we have been. So a very warm welcome to us all. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're so glad you are here with us. I want to say a word of welcome. Please let us know you've been here. We have a guest book just outside the doors of the sanctuary. Let us know you've been here with that. And do, please, join us in the hall for a time of fellowship. Coffee and tea and such, for sure. There may even be a little nibbly or two out there as well. So do join us for that. If at the offering part of our service you would like to leave an offering, it's certainly not required, but if that's something you feel you'd like to do, there are guest envelopes in the pews, and we really ask that if you would fill that out, let us know you've been here. We'd love to say thanks for worshiping with us, and someone from the church would be in contact with you via letter. And if you are looking for a place to call your spiritual home, Coal Harbor Woodside United Church is a fantastic place and a great community to do that. And so if you're interested, do talk to myself after service this morning and let me know. We can get you hooked up and see where things go from there. So as we gather, you'll notice that there are a couple of small changes in the bulletins this morning. We've changed our acknowledgement of place, and things are going to look a little different this year because in Sunday school, we're going to be using what's called the narrative lectionary. One of the concerns across the church has been that children don't know the Bible stories anymore. And so the narrative lectionary we've chosen to engage in this year focuses on particular Bible stories each week. So there are fewer readings from the Gospels and from the New Testament, but a good chunk of the Bible stories that many of us probably learned when we were in Sunday school a number of years ago. So that's a bit of a change, so do kind of be engaged in that as well. But I think most things are going to look pretty similar as to how they have been. This morning we're going to have our blessing of the backpack. For those who brought their backpacks, great. If you didn't bring your backpack this morning, don't worry about it. I've still got a little thing for you to take and you can clip on your backpack after that. And so, and if there are people that you know who aren't here this morning, let them know there will be things for their backpacks for next Sunday as well. So don't want to see anyone left out. So those, I guess, oh, that's the other thing I forgot. If you're visiting and you don't know me, I'm Michael Mugford. I'm in ministry here at Coal Harbor Woodside. I've been away for a while, and so I'm starting to get back into things. So as we gather, I invite us to share in our acknowledgement of place. Our new acknowledgement this morning is responsory in nature. As we gather in this place with gratitude, we acknowledge with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. And this morning we light our candles for this Sunday. I am lighting, these were candles we had for our Pride service this summer in July. And our focus passage this morning is the story of Noah's Ark. And I thought, it's a story about a rainbow. We need a rainbow. We need our rainbow candles back. And so we light these candles to remind us of God's promise in the story of Noah and in the story of all of our scriptures that we have light in our lives and in our world, that God's Spirit and God's presence is never far from us. In fact, it lives within each and every one of us. And as we light our Christ candle, we remind ourselves that Christ's light is our light, the light that we bear here and in the world. Amen. And our opening hymns, the song this morning, verses 1 and 3, More Voices, number 10.
Your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
I invite us to pray together. Holy Spirit of God, root of our being, may we welcome love, joy, and wisdom wherever they appear, today and beyond. We are thankful for your life within us, and we work for healing our bodies and spirits, that we might be a part of the healing of the whole world. This we pray in the name of Jesus. May it be so. Amen. And our hymn 643, Faith While Trees Are Still in Blossom. This one, I don't know how familiar this is. I think this was a new one we had to put in the PowerPoint. So we'll play the whole thing. See who was who is going to be running up to read scripture this morning. Thought it was signed up. First reading this morning comes from, I've divided the story up into two sections. We'll read first two readings and then the next two readings afterwards. The first reading comes from Genesis chapter 6. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make of yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch on the inside and out. And this is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening of 1 cubit high all around. And put a door on the side of the ark and make it lower, middle, and upper decks. And then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. And take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, male and its mate. 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, male and its mate. And also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. May we in the church hear what the Spirit speaks to us through these readings of our sacred scriptures this day. So I invite the children to come down to the front this morning for a time together. Whoops. The mat slid on me. There we go. All right. How are we this morning? Good? Good? We're coming from the four corners of the church. Did you bring your backpacks up with you? Those of you who brought backpacks, yes? Good. And those of you who didn't bring them, don't worry about it. I got stuff for you. Come on around this way. Here we go. Everybody gather in. So, are we all here? We're almost all here. Here we go. So, some of you have been visiting with us over the course of the summer, and some of you have been very busy and been away. Who went away? Where did you go? Scotland. Wow. We're in Scotland. You went to lots of places? Mm-hmm. Where did you go? Did half the congregation go to Scotland? No, just one family. Yeah, just one family. Where else did people go? New York, Paris, and London. I went to Cow Bay. I went to Digby. Cool. That was kind of amazing. Where did you go? Did you go anywhere special this summer? A lot of places. Did anybody go to a beach or a pool? Yeah? A pool? Anybody go to camp? You go to a pool? Yeah? And a beach? You went to camp? And a beach? Yeah? Wow, so people were really busy. We went to camp this summer, too. We went to Berwick Camp. And my daughter Anna went to Sherbrooke Lake Camp. And Jonathan went to Sherbrooke Lake Camp. He worked there. I think some people of our congregation went to Camp Kidston. Who went to Camp Kidston? Anybody? Did you go to Camp Kidston? Did you? And you? Did you have a good time at Camp Kidston? Duh. That's a no. It was fun, eh? And did you swim there and make crafts and tell some Bible stories? Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So here we are at the very beginning of our kind of new Sunday school year, our new church year. And I want to talk to you about promises. What's a promise? So you say you're going to do it, and you kind of have to do it, eh? Yeah. So what other kinds of promises? So what are the kinds of promises that we make? What's a promise that you have made? Is anybody in any of the scouting movement, Boy Scouts or Girl Guides or anything? Do you make promises in that? No? Yeah? So I promise to do my best. Kind of a pledge? Yeah, a pledge and a promise. They can be fairly similar things, aren't they? Yeah. Do you have a promise that you make to your family? I promise I will clean my room every single 6 months or so. I promise to help take out the garbage if I'm not too tired. Do you make a promise at school? What's the promise you made at school? You'll learn and have fun. That's a good promise to make, yeah. Well, in the church, we make promises as well. We have a special word for the promises we make in the church. They're called covenants. And in the Bible, God makes covenants with the people, and the people make covenants with God. And this morning, we're going to talk about, in Sunday school, we're going to talk about a covenant God makes with the people through Noah, with a rainbow. And so I thought, as you began your school year and your church school this year, we could make promises together around how we would be together as a church and how we would hope to help one another as we walk through this coming year. So do you think we can do that? And we thought we would do that through the blessing of backpacks. And so in the congregation, people have the insert. And so I'll invite us, it's responsive, and so I'll invite us to share in together. So those of you who have your backpacks, hold on to them and think about the year that you have coming in school. As we begin this new year, we give thanks that we are able to learn many things in many ways. We learn in school, but we also learn in church, in our families, in our community, and in the world. Learning is one of God's gifts. And so we ask a blessing on this new school year. May it be a time we appreciate and fully use the gift of learning. We ask a blessing on our schools and on teachers. We ask a blessing on our classmates and our friends. We ask a blessing on our principals, counselors, and librarians. We ask a blessing on those who prepare our lunches, those who drive us to school, those who keep our schools clean and safe. We are thankful for books and computers and all the things that help us learn. We give thanks for the gift of learning. So today we have before us backpacks to be carried back and forth from the children, by the children who are going to school, who are gathered here this morning. Your backpacks are kind of a promise of learning that's ahead. It's over the course of the year, you well know that your backpacks are going to have work in them to do, books to be studied, things to help you do your homework. You're going to put in your backpacks notebooks and pencils and pens, protractors and compasses, crayons and rulers, scissors, glue sticks, other items for school. Sometimes you might even put a lunch bag in your backpack. Eh? Some days, there's going to be a lot of things in those backpacks that students may find it difficult to walk. And other days, your backpacks will be light and nearly empty. But on each and every day, your backpacks represent the work that you need to do over the course of the year. And in every aspect of our life, we look for God's blessings in what we do. And so, we're going to pray together. Everybody, if you brought your backpack with you, hold on to it nice and tight. If it's at home still, think about it as we pray. God, we offer prayers for these students. They stand here ready to receive the blessings of learning and community. They commit themselves to study and learning in the school year ahead. We ask a blessing on each of them. Further, we bless these backpacks. They will hold the schoolwork of each student and will be carried from home to school and back again. As these students carry these backpacks, may they be reminded of the love and care this congregation surrounds them each day at school. We pray as well for the teachers and administrators in our school. May they be reminded that this congregation embraces their call to teaching and learning and surrounds them with love and care as well. We pray in the name of the Holy One, whom we seek to follow day by day. Amen. And so, to remind you of these prayers and these promises this morning, I spent some time this week making little things that you can clip onto your backpacks. So there are the colors of the rainbow to remind us of God's promise. And at the bottom of each one, there's a little tag that says either love or peace or hope. All right? So as you go to school, you can clip them on your backpacks or put them somewhere that's special for each and every one of you. And I tried really hard to not make any two of them the same, because each and every one of us are not the same. And we encounter God differently each and every day. So, if you would like to line up here this morning. Oops, I'm going to break that. Everybody line up in a nice straight line. Just over here and go right across this way. This is your first practice. How well do you line up? There you go. Line up, straight line. That way. There we go. Right here. That way, good. Got some room right here in the front. Everybody come forward. There we go. Come forward this way a little bit more. A little bit more. We need room for everybody. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. All right, ready? One, two, three. Everybody turn that way. Say, and we'll say thank you to the congregation for the wonderful support, and for the congregation to support our students and teachers and all who work in our schools over the course of this year. May they truly feel blessed by the prayers that we have shared this morning. So, for you. And as we prepare to go, we're going to sing God Says, Reach Out. There we go, one for you. There is Sunday school programming for you folks upstairs. So we pick up the story of Noah. After the flood, waters have covered the earth. And after 40 days, Noah opened a window that he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up on the earth. And then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch. There was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah and the ark. He reached out his hands and took the dove and brought it back into the ark. And he waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. And he waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. But this time it did not return to him. And after the flood waters had receded and Noah and his family and the animals had come from the ark, we hear this portion of Scripture. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on the earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the whole earth." And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my bow in the sky, a rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember. I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. And never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all creatures of every kind on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." May the Spirit add blessings to these readings from our sacred story this day and always. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charles and Choir and Greg. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. As we move into this time of meditation, O God, may your spirit move in the words that I share this day. May they touch our hearts as well as our spirits, that we might live more deeply in you. In Christ we pray. Amen. So if this particular passage this morning, or this group of passages this morning, sounds familiar to you, it's because we've already read it this year. How many of you remember way back in February, the first Sunday of Lent? Oh, come on. It was one of the readings from the Revised Common Lectionary in that first Sunday in Lent. And I still stand on the notion that this is one of the stories in our sacred texts that are deeply ingrained in our faith. And yet, in the liberal church, we have tried to sanitize it, clean it up a little bit, because, well, with much hand-wringing and deep sighing, we don't really want to seem like we're corrupt, right? How many of us feel that way about ourselves, that we're sinful and depraved, corrupt people? Nobody willing to admit it. Join the club. But for hundreds of generations, we have told this story time and time again, and we kind of gloss over that first. We say the earth was corrupt, the world was corrupt, but it was the people that were the problem. So why are we uncomfortable with the idea of that? Why the disconnect? Why do we want to clean that little bit of the passage up a little bit? Why are we uncomfortable? I can't help but think that the uncomfortable feelings come from the notion that, at least for us in the United Church, we've begun to move away from the theology. It's sometimes characterized as the total depravity of man. The total depravity of man. Not women, just men. The total humanity of human beings. That we are worms under the feet of the Almighty. That there is nothing good in us to the very core. We are sinful, black-hearted creatures. Yay. Glad we're moving away from that. And we've begun to embrace the idea and the theology that instead, we are beloved children of God. We are beloved children of God. Now that doesn't change our nature. We're still flawed. We're still stubborn. We're still fierce in our sense of independence. But in that, we are beloved of God. The God whom we see as our loving mother and father does not come off this way in this passage. Who among us with children, or whose children have grown, if we were angry with our children because they did something we didn't want, would walk into their room and utterly destroy everything in their room? That would look like bad parenting. And yet it's acceptable for God to do that. Vast majority of us would agree that maybe it was just a little bit of an overreaction. And yet we're willing to accept that depiction of God, because once we were told that we as individuals today are still accountable for the sin of Adam and Eve. That's where that comes from. And thus, that total depravity of humankind theology. Now, modern liberal theologians challenge us to look at that story again and to think about it in a different way, to move our perspective a little bit, change our way of looking at it. And think of the story as an explanation as to how ancient peoples were trying to explain the world around them, especially in the face of disaster. Biblical scholar Terry Fritham points out that the biblical text uses the same root word in Hebrew, and I can't pronounce it, but trust me, it's the same root word for corruption that gets used in one part of the passage, that gets used for destruction in the other. So in other words, I think, as I can't help but wonder along with Terry Freedom, that perhaps maybe as the ancients were telling this story, the root of those two words was a way of explaining for themselves why things were happening in that way. That the destruction of the earth had a direct correlation to the corruption of the way in which people were living. That it wasn't necessarily a judgment from God, but it was, you do something bad, you get punished. We all learned that as we were growing up. Right? Didn't do our homework. We didn't get dessert in my house. The reality is that in the biblical narrative, humanity is already on a path of destruction because of the violence and corruption with which they are living. The flood is not a punishment from God. It is a consequence of the way in which we live. If I do nothing but eat pizza and pop and chips, this is what I look like. It's not a judgment. It's a consequence. If I go back to the gym and I start working out again, I look like I did about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. We forget that we're not living for ourselves as individuals, but that we live in covenant relationship with one another. We create covenant relationships of community, of family, and with God. So when we don't live in the right way within that covenant, the reality is that the covenant gets broken down. If in our married lives we don't live the way that the covenant works, our marriages don't work. If we don't treat our children the way our covenant says we should treat our children, then our children's lives and our lives are lost. And that's a hard thing because we really do want the world to be okay. And today, when we look at the world around us, many of us would admit that of humanity has really grown up a whole lot since then. We still see the corruption in our world. We still see racism, and sexism, homophobia, and xenophobia portrayed not only in the streets of our small communities, but right up to the halls of power and in corporate boardrooms. That corruption is still there. We still would rather fix our problems with violence and war and retribution. We still amass great amounts of wealth in our banks and in our homes and in our possessions, while others live in squalor and poverty and hunger. I saw a meme on the internet quite a while ago that says, "We are meant to love people and use things, but instead, we use people and love things." Those, I think, are the things that were happening in the days of Noah all over again. Seems kind of hopeless. But with God, there's always a but. There is always a but. Unless we think we should give up, we must see that we are also learning and that we are growing as well. We are always working on renewing and rebuilding and reconciling with each other. We do reach out to the neighbor and to the stranger. We do learn to put away old prejudices and misconceptions. We are growing in our understanding of the common things that unite us as the peoples of the earth, as part of God's creation. We are changing. And in that, there is hope. There is promise in that growth, in that change. We cannot and we will not give up simply because we fell down or twice, or 100 times. We will continue to seek God's face, and we will grow out of our rash, reactionary ways, and we will change And instead, we will become agents of life. One of the theologians I was reading this week said that the lesson of the flood is not that humanity changed. We can see that. The lesson of the flood, rather, is that God changed. Rather than continuing to be reactionary and destructive, God promises to change and to not ever do again what God has just done. It gives hope for us as humans, doesn't it? If God can change, maybe we can too. And just in case God forgets, the rainbow. The rainbow is not primarily to remind us of God's promise. If we read the text tells us that the rainbow is to remind God of God's promise. It's kind of that heavenly string around the finger thing, right? Every time I see the rainbow, God says, I will remember. Not you will remember. I will remember. So the theme of this new journey that we're taking with the narrative lectionary is God's promises bring hope. God places hope within us and upon us. When we live as though we can love people and use things again. When we live the other way around, we understand the pain that this causes us and all creation, including God. In Genesis 6:6, the scripture says that God is grieved at the way the earth is going. This is the same word in Hebrew that is used to describe a woman's experience of pain in giving birth. It's that grief to the depths of one's core. There is a need for us as people of faith to take the stories of our primal past and understand what they were and find their relevance today. In many of our hearts, we grieve. We grieve the way of the world, but acknowledge that after the pain of childbirth, Asav, there is possibility. There is hope. There is new life. When we gather together as the church to worship, to work, to learn, to serve, we stand under the rainbow that reminds God of God's promise. No matter what our situation in life may be, God remembers God's promise, God remembers God's covenant, and God moves in our lives with ongoing demonstrations of unconditional forgiveness, overwhelming grace, and steadfast love for us. That is our task to learn. To learn how to be the people God calls us to be. To learn to use those gifts for the healing of creation. May we, like God, remember. Can I get an amen? No. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Charles and Greg. There are announcements that can be shared. Are there any here that would like to share an announcement at this particular point in time? Jennifer and Kelly. And Lee. Oh, my heavens. Yes.
So just wanted to say that Kelly and I are going to be leading the youth group again this year. We're really excited to be getting back into that. If you have a youth between the ages of grade 6 and grade 12, if you are a youth between the ages of grade 6 and grade 12, or you have a youth connected to you who would enjoy some fun and faith and fellowship every second Sunday night, we start tonight at 7 o'clock in the hall. My other announcement is that the youth group is going apple picking on September 29th. This marks 25 years that we've been going to Willowbank Farms to pick apples. $8 for 10 pounds, $15 for 20 pounds, and we will have them an order sheet in the hall after church this morning.
Okay, so I still have a few more announcements. So Sunday school is getting going again, and we are looking again for some Sunday school teachers who would be interested in helping out. If you've previously helped out, think you might be interested, if you could just come talk to me after service, that would be wonderful, and we can try to get a schedule. We usually look for about a week or two commitment a month, so it's not kind of an every Sunday thing, but we'd love to have some teachers able to help. Also, we will be starting our children's group, the United Kids Connect. That's going to be starting up Friday, September 21st, and it'll be a Friday evening meeting, and this is for children in grades 2 to 5. So again, if you know any children who would be interested, if your child was in it last year and love to come back, we'd love to have a big group again. And I know our kids had a lot of fun last year. And Families Connect will be starting up. We're going to be doing monthly kind of fellowship events. All the details will be determined, and I'll probably change up the activities monthly like I did last year. But just kind of FYI, keep your ears open for all those activities that are coming.
With the school year starting, many of our committees and organizations will be restarting after the summer, and with that comes an increasing number of announcements. I just wanted to draw your attention to another method that we have to reach out to the community. For those that use Facebook, you know that we have the Facebook page, and we often post announcements there as well, and so you can get notifications of those. But perhaps you don't use Facebook. We have an option to reach out to you by email address. If you go to our website, you can register your email address, and you can receive the same announcements you would if you were a part of the Facebook group. If you need help, certainly reach out to me, and I can help you. But thanks.
Just to let everybody know that coffee and tea is back after service, and we have the next few weeks covered. And after that, the sign-up sheet is wide open for anybody to volunteer to do coffee and tea on Sundays. Don't have to do it every Sunday, just even if you do it once. Perfect. Anyway, oh, also some goodies.
Save the best for last. I noticed on the TV, the Jumbotron, I call it, that men's luncheon starts on Wednesday. And it didn't end up too good last year. There was a couple of times when I had no one to talk to but the waitress. So I look out here and I see a good many people that look hungry. So why don't you come out on Wednesday at Fong's at 12 o'clock for some good conversation and good Chinese food. So, you know, we'll try it for a while and see what happens. And, you know, if it doesn't pick up, it's going to stop. Thank you.
Not quite the last one, Willie. We have a piece of equipment back here. It's a screwdriver, moldy bit, and it's red in color instead of orange, and it has gone missing. If anyone has it, Ah, there you go. See? Make the announcement and it will happen. Can we have that back, please?
Just a reminder to folks on the pastoral care team, we are providing worship this Wednesday at Parkland, 2 o'clock, so if folks are able to be there, do come and join us. Tuesday morning Bible study starts again this coming Tuesday morning, 9:30, upstairs in the meeting room. Everybody is welcome. You don't have to have no previous experience necessary, so come on out and join us. And the online Bible study will continue to be on the Facebook platform. I haven't found a better way of doing that yet, but I am searching. So if somebody knows how we can better do that, let me know. If you, it is a the online Bible study is a secret group, and that's because we want people to be able to share openly and honestly, and those things that won't get posted anywhere else on Facebook. So by keeping it a secret group, everything that gets talked in that group can be private. People can ask their most deep questions, things that they think might be foolish, things that they really don't understand, but everybody thinks you should, but nobody really does, those sorts of things. So, and it's been a really good discussion over the last couple of years. So all you need to do, you can still find the group, but you can't see what's on it. So you just ask to join. I'm the administrator. I will give you permission to join, and then you can watch for the posts. You can respond. Lots of people just creep. That's all they do. They like to read them. They like to read everybody's posts, and they have nothing to say. That's okay. That's, we all learn differently. And so for those of you who are not, I got a giggle from the creep. Creeping just means you just read. You don't post. That's all. It's nothing nefarious or anything like that. It's just a Facebook thing. But, yeah, so you can just read the posts and think about them, meditate them, and read what people have to say. We have great conversations. So anyway, so please do think about that as well. And Paul would like me to announce that the Hope Cottage meatballs meal this month is September the 20th. There is a sign-up sheet in the red binder out on the table in the entryway. You bring the meatballs to Paul's place, 93 Delta, before the evening of Tuesday, September the 18th. You can give him a call or call the office. They're looking for 15 people to sign up for meatballs, and that makes sure that there isn't a shortage when they take them over to Hope Cottage. And people really deeply appreciate, we've been told time and time again, our efforts to take food over there and to share with those who are hungry on our very streets. And so this is something small, but it's something that is significant to those who receive it. So please do look for that red binder out here on the table in the entryway under the great big mural on the wall. Those are the announcements, and we have our moment for mission and service. And thank you. Oh, I did want to say, as Susanna's coming up, to say thank you to Roger, who filled in for me over the 4 Sundays over the course of the summer, who shared those times. And so deeply appreciate to know that, you know, that you were able to be able to do that and to share a different perspective and gives people wonderful things to think about. So I heard good things. So thank you very much, Roger, on my behalf and on everyone's behalf for leading that this summer.
Sometimes I read to you the Minute for Missions, and it's somewhat remote, but I really like to read the stories because it makes a connection for us. But today I think you might recognize some of the names that are mentioned in this reading. Our gifts for mission and service support theological training at 7 schools across Canada and 3 education centers. In the beautiful south end of Halifax, Nova Scotia, there's a small university whose commitment is to serve Christ's mission by shaping effective and faithful ordained and lay readers and understanding among communities of faith. The Atlantic School of Theology, AST, was formed in 1971 through the joint vision and forward thinking of its 3 founding members, the United Anglican and Roman Catholic Churches of Canada. The school is located on the site of Pine Hill Divinity Hall, which has provided theological education since 1878. Thanks to its board of governors, faculty, and staff, and the support of 3 founding parties, Atlantic School of Theology continues to train, support, and prepare leaders to face the unique challenges of ministry in the 21st century. Kim Curlett is a candidate for ordination in the United Church and a Master of Divinity student, AST was my first choice for theological education because of its commitment to ecumenism and interfaith dialogue, she says. To me, effective leadership in the church today means that we are not only able to educate and care for our local congregation, but that we are also able to engage with our neighbors outside the church walls with respect and a deep sense that we are all children of God. It is with this understanding that we are truly able to be Christ's hands and hearts in the world. Mission and Service makes theological education for students, clergy, and lay worship leaders possible. Thank you for your generous support. If Mission and Service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making Mission and Service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our Mission and Service.
Thank you, Susanna. In that spirit, then, we present our gifts and our offerings this day. Let's pray. These gifts, O God, brought forward in these offering plates, those offered through par, those gifts offered by the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the dedication of our lives, may all these gifts serve the work of justice, peace, love, and equity in our world. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. If you're following along in your bulletin, you'll notice that there is a version of Jesus' prayer in the bulletin. It's an ecumenical version. It's been around for not very long, 30 or 40 or 50 or so years. Comes out of the ecumenical councils of the 1960s. If it's something you would like to use, pray that when we pray together. If you're happier and more comfortable with the traditional version of the Lord's Prayer in the King James English, pray that. This is just an opportunity for us to share in words together. And so let us pray. Holy One, as we gather here this day, we are thankful that our community is beginning to re-coalesce after a break, after a time away. We're thankful for those who have been here each Sunday over the summer, those who have been here off and on, and those who have traveled and yet are returning. We ask, O God, that you would bless the times of Sabbath that we have been able to share with family and friends, the times we were able to sit and watch a sunset or a sunrise, to read a good book over a cup of coffee or tea in the morning or the evening, to go to a playground with children, to be reinvigorated by their joy and their spirit. Give you thanks for the ways in which we find your spirit renewing itself in us and in our lives. We're thankful for the ways in which you call us to be in community. As we begin to move back into the regular rhythms of life in our church, we ask you would open our hearts and our spirits that we might hear your call to serve in our church and in our world. May we hear the voices of those asking for help in teaching Sunday school, in leading our children and leader and adult programs, who would bring music to us in our worship, who would prepare food and fellowship, who would join their voices and their minds and their hearts in discussion, those who would seek to serve outside of this congregation in our communities, in the sponsorship of refugees, in the offering of help to family and friend, stranger alike. This call to serve, O God, comes to us from your promise. Your promise to work within us, to walk beside us, to gather with us, and to equip us for the ways of service in the world. Bless us as we seek to serve, as we seek to care, as we reach out to those who are in need. Today we think of those who are in our hospitals and nursing homes, that they might find the comfort of medical care and visitation. We think of those who are incarcerated in our prisons and jails, that they might find paths of reconciliation to family, friend, and society. We honor those who serve in our armed forces, as peacekeepers, those who serve in our communities as peace officers, firefighters, EMTs, doctors, nurses, and all those who commit themselves to the work in our community healthcare system. We pray again, especially for teachers and administrators, support staff in schools. The first few days of school have been rough on some. May we find patience. May we find a sense of working together rather than the tearing down of those who perhaps don't quite meet our needs and expectations. Let us work together and walk together. Bless us, God, as we seek to be a blessing in this place, in this time. In Christ we pray, as we say in the words of Jesus, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we honor the story of Noah and the flood, as we honor the promise of God and the rainbow, let us sing, O beautiful Gaia, calling us home. So we've come in and we have shared a time together. We've felt the Spirit of God in this place move among us and between us. It has called upon us to gather, and now it sends us out into the world to serve, to share light and life, to share hope and peace, to serve the ways of God in our communities, in our lives, and in our world. Go, for the world awaits a word.